Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Blank, we have any changes to the agenda this evening, Mr. Cornwell?
Just to note that this is a revised agenda. It was distributed to the commission. The commission can move that adoptive, oops, Janelle said we ought to change.
We've got two, and I apologize for interrupting. The removal of the minutes from October 27th, 2016, and under other business, the removal of the reserves for a final site plan. The first item under other business can be removed, please.
All right, then.
Just the first item, not the second?
The first item, not the second.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
We move and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the October 13, 2016 meeting. Any changes?
There were a few minor changes that I pointed out to staff on the October 13th minutes. But other than that, they look good to me.
If you give consideration to adoption of the minutes for October 13th, it should be based on as revised.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes of October 13th, 2016 as amended.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the October 13, 2016 meeting as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, then, that brings us to our old business for the evening. We have three items of old business, the first one being subdivision 2016-1, the estates at Middle Creek Subdivision BDRP LLC. This is for the announcement of the receipt of the TIS results. So,
Mr. Chairman, just before we go, just for the benefit of the public and the commission, as you know, we have a new appointee to the commission. Welcome, Keller Hopkins aboard. But just remember that because these are for public hearings that occurred while he wasn't a member of the commission, he won't be participating on the old business items.
Very good. All right, then. And while we're on the subject, on behalf of all the members of the commission, we want to welcome Mr. Hopkins to our midst. We're delighted to have a full commission once again, and we're very anxious and glad that you're here to work with us. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
All right, then. Ms. Cornwell?
Yes. The office received a copy of the results of the TIS that was performed for the major subdivision. A copy of those results were included in your packet, and the Planning Commission left the record open for the receipt and then potential written response from the public regarding the TIS results.
Okay.
And they're open for what, 10 days?
What's the time frame?
Typically, it's 15.
Yeah, that's what I recall from the minutes, it's 15.
So what's happening, for those of you with an interest in this application, what's happening this evening is we're simply announcing that we've received the TIS results and that the 10-day clock is now running for those of you who might... 15-day clock is now running for those of you who may wish to comment on those minutes. They're in the file in the office, which is available during normal business hours. You're welcome to come in and look at it anytime you want. You can deliver items to be included in the file. If you have comments, you can deliver them written comments by hand. You can also send them by email if you wish, or you can send them through the regular mail. So,
and the comments only should reference the information in the traffic impact study.
The record is being held open only for comments on the traffic impact study. So any other comments you make will be ignored. But any comments you have regarding the traffic impact study will become part of the record. Okay, thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2059, Julie Norwood.
I'm going to ask Vince just to make a comment on this because we got a couple things going on here.
This one has been deferred for, I guess, two meetings now, I think. At any rate, yeah. I think that's about right. That doesn't really matter. Somebody, it's been deferred. We've got a couple things going on. There's a prior conditional use, as you recall, that came out during the public hearing that was approved, but there was no preliminary site plan or final site plan that was approved for that. Despite that fact, they came in and applied for a second conditional use for essentially the same site. Again, even though there wasn't a site plan approval for the original conditional use, and they're supposed to both be on the same site at the same time. I know that we have a preliminary site plan for the original conditional use on tonight's agenda, but under the circumstances, procedurally, it may be wise to defer on this one, the one that we're dealing with on under old business, take care of the preliminary site plan one way or the other, and then bring it back for another meeting for conditional use number 2059.
So 2059 is the one window clean one, or no?
No, 2059 is the hair salon one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So the window cleaning one's the one that was approved, whatever, a year or so ago. But it just got the conditional use approval. The ordinance was approved, but they never came back in and got any site plan approvals at all. I think they were made aware of that during the public hearing on the hair salon. It sounds like they've submitted one for consideration this evening.
Yes. As part of the other business, there's a preliminary site plan for the conditional use 1981, which was the window cleaning business.
Taking it a step further, my suggestion would be that act on the preliminary site plan for the old window cleaning business. Defer tonight the conditional use on the hair salon. And then if you were to act favorably on the hair salon at the next meeting, make the final site plan approval cover both conditional uses so there's one site plan for the whole entire site. That way everything's on it, in one spot, one-stop shopping.
Mr. Chairman, considering CU 2059, Julie Norwood, my motion would be for deferral at this time.
Second.
Move and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2059, Julie Norwood. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. The next item is subdivision 2016-13, Barry N. Koch and Diane J. Koch.
I got this. All right. Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2016-13 for Barry and Diane Koch based upon the record and for the following reasons. The proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. The land is zoned AR1, which permits low-density single-family residential development. The proposed subdivision density of one lot consisting of 1.146 acres with a residual lot of 30.5 acres of land is significantly less than the allowable density. The proposed subdivision will be consistent with the area and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. The proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities. The proposed subdivision will not adversely affect traffic on the area roadways. The preliminary approval is subject to the following conditions. There shall be no further subdivision of this property without a public hearing. Stormwater management systems shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and the county. All entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. The applicant shall record restrictions which require that the lot owner share in the expense of the perpetual upkeep of Coy Lane with the others who have access to Coy Lane. This preliminary approval is contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting the conditions of this approval on it. Staff shall approve the revised plan upon confirmation that the conditions of approval have been depicted or noted on it. The final site plan shall be subject to the review and the approval of Sussex County, and the applicant is granted a waiver from the landscape buffer requirement.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2016-13, Barry N. Koch and Diane J. Koch, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ms. Cornwell, if you would, let the record show that the motion carried 3-0 with Mr. Hopkins abstaining because he was not on the commission at the time, and with the chairman abstaining because I did not participate in the public hearing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We thank you for being here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberation and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain the application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the application and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman has the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In these proceedings, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Also during the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will ask or direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission.